All right, Bilo, we're live.
May I speak now?
I mean, yeah, it took you 2 months to actually get on here and speak again. So, yes, go ahead. Please speak. The audience thought you died.
Well, I didn't die. I'm here, live and in the flesh. I had to
Where
take
have
a
you
few,
been, Bilo?
I had to take a few detours in life.
Bilo detour, yeah. Detour, fucking mentally, fucking emotionally, verbally. You're all fucking detoured.
Yeah, no, you're detoured. No, I had a crazy couple of months. I've been busy.
Yeah, yeah. You gave me shit for traveling. Wait, let's get real quick. Are we going to be able to record continuously in the foreseeable future? Do you see any more roadblocks? Just so I can tell the audience.
Well, Charles, I do see a few roadblocks in the month of October. However, I think we may be able to, depending upon a few things, have a remote, and I mean remote, session.
I don't know what the fuck that even means. I don't want to talk more about that. Well, October for me, I'm going to Napa for the week, so I will not be able to record 1 week late in October myself.
See, this is a little ridiculous because you tell me that you are always available and you're never available, and you could pre-record one for the week while you're in Napa, or you could do one live while you are in Napa on your phone and record it, and I can see Napa.
You know, I like your thinking. I don't know, maybe for Napa, a short one. I got to talk to you about that because I downloaded what we do to record. I downloaded the app, and I want to see, because, you know, I want to have other guests on here, and you're an expert in this software.
It works really well for that because I've been in meetings with it where we've had it on the phone, and other people have used it. Other people have been in, and also sharing your phone screen. So as we were working through things on the phone, you can actually share the phone screen, and someone was logged into the computer. They were also logged in on their telephone, sharing the screen of them being on their telephone.
I like
and
that.
And we were able to see it perfectly.
Well, can you record on the app on the telephone, or would you need somebody on the computer to do the recording? Have you tried that?
I have not had someone on the telephone doing the recording. The host has always been on the computer, but I'm not saying it does not do that. I do not know. Maybe we should test that out.
Yes. For our audience and the guests I like to have on here, but for you and I, being the traveling sons of bitches that we are, I want to test out the full functionality. So whether we can record off the app, that would be awesome on our phones because that'll make life a little bit easier. I don't know if we could edit and post, but we'll see. But I would like, ideally, because I told you I want to have more guests on here, if I could just give them my account, they could call in on their app on the phone, download it for free, and I'll record from home. So you and I, this fucking smart
city. Yes, and also, if you happen to be remote and I happen to, not remote, but if you happen to be on the telephone and I am on the computer,
yes,
then I could do the recording. But also, you should give your special friend it on the phone, and we could have a threesome.
No, we will not have a threesome, but I'm thinking, I know what you're thinking. But like vice versa for the recording, we could do that. All right, let's get right into it. Let's get into our bits, because I got a lot to say about the first bits coming up, and we all know the audience has been here, the streak. What is our streak, our Snapchat streak, right now as of this recording?
Well, I'm in the middle of something at the moment.
Why would you do that? All right, so unlike Bilo, I come prepared. He, and I'm telling the audience, he decided to update his fucking phone during the podcast. So the streak, because I checked right before we went live, because I'm doing Bilo's job now. Hence why I demoted him to the world's okayest co-host. No longer the greatest co-host. Our streak is at 7 fucking days. How are we at 7 days? Well,
I don't know.
Bilo, being remote, when I knew where he was, he could get functionality on Snapchat, but he chose.
Wait a second. How do you know that I chose? Number one. Number two, what day did we start?
Because the first day when you were on remote, whatever you want to call it, you were fucking snapping me from that location and you were posting stuff and videos on Snap and sending it to me. So I knew it worked. So you showed the fucking card up your sleeve. And then out of nowhere, for the next 2 or 3 days, you just stopped fucking snapping me.
Why? You knew where I was. And just because I was able to work one day does not necessarily mean that those other days I was in a location that had internet that worked.
Did you even try?
Yes.
I don't believe you fucking tried. I am doubting you.
Yep. Listen, you know, you do need to come up and visit here. However,
I'll change the subject. Your mic is coming in very staticky, by the way.
That is impossible. That is you.
Can you hear the feedback? I can hear it on my side.
No, I can't hear any feedback. That's blasphemy.
No, I don't know what the fuck you're doing, buddy. But I'm not re-recording, and we'll blame this on you.
No, it's okay. I'll hear it that way. But
just so you know, even though it's my podcast, you're the
why are you pointing at me? I feel threatened.
Because you pissed me off about the shriek. Because again, this is the fifth fucking time this summer we had to restart the shriek. So much so that my girlfriend, who knows about the shriek, she and I started our own shriek, and we're double our fucking shriek. She and I are 14 days. So you're about to be fucking replaced, buddy, if you don't watch your fucking step up from the street codes.
Wait a second. How does that work? How can you have a streak with her?
You can have a streak with multiple people. Because you and I have one at 7, she and I have one at 14. But she's committed. Like the relationship she and I are in, you and I are no longer committed in a heterosexual relationship because you cannot keep the streak going. So I'm very disappointed.
I wonder when this will be done, because I want to take a look at that. So then we won't have the red heart.
Wait, hold on. What are you updating? Because you and I went through this. You already have that on there. We already talked about this.
iOS 13.1 came out today, and I just sat down. I was waiting for you as usual, and I just went, oh, what's going on? Update.
They already put up another fucking update? That's how.
Yeah, they announced iOS 13.1's date the minute iOS 13 came out.
Let me see where I went, because I just did this 2 nights ago. I wonder if I got 13.1. Yep. No,
oh,
I don't have it. That's nice. Fucking Apple.
No, it's great. I like iOS 13, by the way. So the streak, you guys have the multiple streak going. And you guys will have the red heart soon, which is nice. You do need
We have the yellow heart, she and I.
Oh, I think that means you guys have been doing it for a week.
Yeah, well.
Religiously.
Yes.
Well, but I think the red heart is you're both number one friends. Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad to see that you found another relationship and I helped you transition into this relationship and filled time and snap time and the like. And then I can just fade off into the sunset and I will be a guest speaker occasionally on the podcast. Oh, look, here it is. It's coming back on now.
Well, let's keep the topic at hand. So as we pivot over from relationship talk, from the street to relationship talk, let's move over to Strictly Dickly. I have, because we haven't chatted in a while, I have a topic in particular for you that I want to run by you, because I think you'll have an interesting take, because it ties into a couple of worlds that you're very familiar with that you enjoy. So I was out with my girlfriend on Saturday night. We went to this restaurant that I've been hearing about in Boston. They're originally from Los Angeles. They're in Boston now. So we went down there. It's in the Seaport area. And I don't really be able to name the restaurants, but maybe someday I will. But I'll talk to you about it off the air. So this restaurant, I got a reservation. So a couple things. The reservation is tough to get. I got a reservation at one of the high seated tables because it's near the bar, because the low seated are already full. So we got like the high top. So I had a reservation for 8:45. That was the one, the earliest I could get it for Saturday night. We get there, the table's not ready. The place is jammed. So they tell us to go to the bar and get a drink and they'll come get us when the table's ready. The bar is one of those bars, not like a normal bar where you can walk up in between people. People actually dining at the bar because this place is actually tough to get a table. So it's tough to actually get in between people. So
I prefer to dine at the bar.
So you got to make eye contact with these bartenders. So we make eye contact. We get the drink. We're waiting. So 8:45, finally at 9:15, we had to remind the hostess that they still haven't seated us. She's like, oh, you haven't been seated? No, you're the fucking hostess. Don't you know whether or not we've been fucking seated? So they finally seat us at 9:15. That, I don't know what your rule is about waiting for fucking tables and judging a restaurant off that. So that I want to get your take on. We finally get seated. We're no longer at the high top table, at the high seated table. because they actually got us a normal one in the dining area. So now we're low seated like everybody else. So that was a perk for waiting. We get there. It's steak. It's seafood. We get a bottle of wine. We're getting all these great foods. We're eating it. So I have – so it's – obviously, I'm facing her. So she behind me to my left, and she's facing me, is a couple. And she's pointing out to me. They're all the couple in their late 40s, married because she saw the rings. I was trying not to turn around. The place I was seated, there's a lot of white noise and music traveling. So I really couldn't hear. Every now and then I'd hear something. The couple was deep into a heated argument. More so, and I'm not stereotyping the sexes, the woman, the female, had a lot to say. And the guy just taking it all, being very quiet. And my girlfriend's telling me some of the things they were saying. So it's more like they were arguing, they were fighting, and she wanted to leave. And they're talking about bills, paying bills. And I didn't think, I don't know if bills are an issue because this place is a very expensive restaurant. To each their own, but that was one of the things she was hearing. To the point where he wanted to get out. It was very uncomfortable. She left. She never came back. He waited by himself for like 15, 20 minutes. So she definitely left the restaurant. And then at some point, he just paid the bill and he got up and left. Now, before we get into the whole thing about that, and I got my opinions about fighting in public places, how do you feel about waiting for your table and being seated, how that whole dynamic works? And then we'll get into public fights on Strictly Dick.
Okay. First of all, I prefer to eat at the bar. A lot of times I have made reservations at restaurants, have gone in, found a seat at the bar, and have been able to eat and canceled my reservation. Waiting for the reservation, it depends.
There was no seat at the bar in this case, so that wasn't an option.
If I can easily get a drink, then I'm a little more patient because I can sit there, have a drink and talk or whatever. But if it's that crowded, or it's not set up in a way where you can easily get a drink if you're not seated at the bar, where you're standing or something, then I wait, you know, if my reservation's at 6:30. I mean, I understand this. I mean, it's very tough. I mean, you have to try to time it and flow it, but you give them a good 10, 15 minutes. If not, I'd say see you, bye. Yeah. Because, again, under those conditions, like I said, I mean, if I can get a drink and I'm having a good time because whomever I'm with and we're, you know what I'm saying? Like we can still have atmosphere for it. But I've gone out with a group of, a few friends, and we've gone to a restaurant and we did. And it was just like, you couldn't even get a drink. You know, mm-hmm. We're sitting there waiting. So you end up just kind of like standing there in a crowd full of other people because usually It's really crowded at that time. And you're all just kind of standing there going.
Exactly what we're doing. Yeah, I kept a pile of people in waiting for the tables. But we made eye contact, and actually it took us about 15 minutes. We got a drink. That calmed us both down. And I was with her, so the company was good. But I hear you. If it was a group of people.
No, and I'm not saying it's – I mean, again, if it's bad company, it's even worse. But I'm saying even if it's like with good, friendly company, you know, I'll even say, hey, I'll come back later or something. Or I'll just say, hey, cancel my reservation. I'll go someplace else. Because, you know, it can set the night off. Not to say that you're particular or – difficult, it could just set the night off wrong because now it's like I'm waiting, you're getting anxious, I could be hungry. You know, there's a number of things that could go on. So that's my take on that. The other point as far as I have a question about this too because you made me think of somebody who's saying that. Arguing in public, I do not believe in. I don't think you should let other people air out your business. I mean, I don't think you should ever – I mean, again, you could be – I mean, sometimes body language will indicate that you're not satisfied with each other because but even if you get to that point where you guys are just sitting there and not even talking, cause you know how we even talk about when you go people watch, you can see like people look like on their phone, they're not talking, they're kind of sitting there, they're just eating. Like if you're that fucking miserable, leave. But I do not think that anybody should air out any laundry in public. I don't think it's anybody else's business. I don't think that, it's proper. I don't think it's appropriate. And I think some of those things you should handle in private. To say that point.
I agree with you. So I've seen, again, I haven't really been part of this. I really haven't been.
I love people watching, by the way, and I go out and I see it all. And it's just kind of funny. I've seen people accuse people of like cheating on them at the bar and they're getting kind of loud and they're just sitting there. And I've seen many people just sitting there like on the bad end of a heated argument, just sitting there going, please just get me the fuck out of here.
I've never been the victim in that instance. I've never had a woman lose her shit on me, but I have friends that have brought that up to me several times about their girlfriends, fiancés, wives, and I've seen it. I find something, again, ladies, I'm not trying to stereotype you. I feel like there are a lot of women that feel like they could get really loud and uppity and intense in a public place because they know their man will not make a scene back. Like they get that so abusive.
I think I had a conversation with a friend tonight about this because we were talking about a certain situation that occurred at the gym this morning. And what they said to me, because I had a question, I said, hey, here's a take because I like to people watch. And it's fitting with what you said. I'm not going to talk about the gym situation, but I'm going to tell you what that person had said to me. They had said to me, it may be that way because it's socially acceptable for a woman to do that. Okay. And again, if you know the person that I'm talking to, and for them to come out with something like that, says something. Because I think it's the same type of thing. Because if a guy is to go to start something in our society, start yelling and screaming at a woman in a restaurant, everyone would be up in arms. So guys sometimes, and again, I'm not trying to stereotype. I'm just saying everybody knows this is the case.
Yep.
Whereas if a woman starts being loud and obnoxious like that, use the word obnoxious. Some people just look and go, oh damn, look at that guy. He's in for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, whereas if a guy does it, it could be the same, turn the tables, exact same situation where a woman was just doing the same thing. A guy would say the same thing and everybody would be like, oh man, he's such a fucking asshole. He didn't really have to yell at her like that. Yep. So I think on both sexes, again, I'm not trying to say it's women or men. I think on both sexes, there's certain things that, you know, our society frowns upon you doing in public or frowns upon you doing. I'm not saying it's right, wrong, or, you know, indifferent. I'm just saying that could have something to do with it. But I'm one too, is I can stay rather calm, you know, in public, and then I'll just address something, you know, in private.
This guy, to his point, on his behalf, and again, I kept the turnaround. He stayed there until the point. But what about, besides that, what about the walkout? Like, have you ever been in that situation, or have you ever seen that? How do you feel about that? Like, when people, like, just threaten, I'm going to leave, and they kind of, like, oh, I'm not really going to leave, and they kind of want to see you chase after them. But has it ever happened, or have you seen that, like, the actual, I'm fucking gone and leaving you behind? Like, she took it that far, she left.
Like, no. Maybe he thought she was coming back, or maybe he thought she went to the bathroom and came back. That right there, you know, again, if you're saying they were married or something, that's a little difficult because they both have to go home.
Yeah, but I know.
It goes to the same type of thing. You really can't do that. You can't. I mean, again, how would you feel if someone left you in a restaurant? That's why I always, you know, maybe I'm maturing. I don't know, but I look at it that way. Like, how would you feel if someone would do that to you?
Terrible. Right?
I mean, it's all about respect.
Like you said, I agree. First of all, we shouldn't have this in public anyway. If we're both that mad right now, let's take this home.
Let's leave. Just tell the waiter or the waitress that, hey, you know, can I have my check?
Yep.
Or take the food to go or whatever it is. We're done. I mean, any restaurant will give you, I mean, as long as you pay the bill, they don't care. You can say, oh, I'm going to pay the bill for being here and I'm leaving. If it's that busy of a place, you know, like you said, they're going to seat somebody.
Absolutely.
So it's not like they're losing business. And if you make plans with someone, if you're having a miserable time, just up and go.
But yeah, I wanted to.
That's kind of funny.
That scenario. It was very awkward because I could keep turning around, but she was watching and she was like, oh my God, now she left.
How do you feel about people at restaurants? You brought up a couple points, who sit together. Like, I'm not saying, I don't, you know, some people will go out, you see, they get like, okay, well, we're going to see. You said that you and your girlfriend, who I still need to have a chat with.
You could barely have a chat with me because you're never around. You want to talk to her. We'll get to that. Wait, so you mean like, side by side?
Yeah, so like, you know how sometimes you say, again, listen, sometimes you go to a restaurant, depending upon the size of the restaurant, like we went out for dinner the other night, and you know, you say two, and they give you like a little table, there's two chairs, one on the side of each other. But sometimes you go out, and it could be like, you know, a table for four, and you can have like a bench, or you can have two chairs next to each other. People who sit next to each other.
Here's my take on that. I got strong opinions about that. All right, okay. When I go out with a girl, my girl, we'll go out to dinner, I like across from each other, the face-to-face, the interaction, making you laugh, the eye contact, the sexiness, the flirtiness, the reaction, the food, sharing the food, splitting the food, all that shit you get across from each other. I think even though it's distance, depending on the size of the table, there's a lot of intimacy to be said about that. You build a true connection this way, face-to-face. Now, let's go back. Let's take it back a step. If you go out with another couple, when you go out with another couple, obviously it's not going to be you, her, your buddy, them. It's the couple on one side, that other couple on the other side. That's where you get to kind of like sit next to your date, your girl, put your arm around her, rub the leg, have some fun, shoot the shit with your friends. That's what I think side by side is totally acceptable. Going out alone, It's awkward as shit when I see people doing that, like sitting next to each other, because you can't see this face to face. Like eating, got your arm around them. It's like driving. It's like, it's odd.
I agree with you. And I like that because you know how when I speak, I'm very passionate and animated, sometimes too much, but I also like to look someone in the eyes because it was unrelated to this whole conversation, but you made me think about that as part of this conversation. But I remember now is going out recently, and I even had to apologize because the way we were seated, it wasn't like we were sitting next to each other. It's just the way that the table was seated or situated. We were kind of like not directly next to each other, but kind of like angled with each other. It was just a weird seat. And I actually had to say, you know what? I'm sorry for not looking at your eye, but like I am starting to hurt my neck. Because the way we were sitting, you know what I'm saying? It's like, because like you said, it's like, okay, well, I want to eat, have a drink, turn my head, I'm talking. I'm like, you know what? My neck is starting to get pulled because I'm having to stare over at you. I said, so just please excuse me if I speak.
There's something about that type of sitting, like the angle sitting. I know what you're saying. Like, it's like you're on one side, they're on the other. So we went to the Encore Casino a couple weeks ago, and we went to the restaurant. One of the restaurants.
I have yet to go, and everybody keeps telling me to go.
You should come up here. I'll take you up here. We should all go sometime. So we're seated, and again, we wanted to get a seat. I didn't have a reservation, so you had to get what was available. So they
when are you available? December 2021?
It's going to be like...
Like when you're getting married, December 2020? Like you have all these things booked up.
Some point 2020. So it was, we didn't have a choice of where we sat because we got an available table. So they sat us at a four-person table. How that was built out was it was like a chair across from me, a chair to my left. I had a booth and she had the booth that started curving. So she and I.
Exactly. I know exactly what you're saying.
But so for the first time, yeah, I don't like doing this turning to the right as I'm eating because I'm righty. But it's a lot to be like said, the smiling in between the bites to take a breather or in between the courses. There is that reaching over under the table, touching the leg and being flirty because you are close. So there are benefits to that. But there's also the crank in the neck. Like, I'm constantly turning to you and eating to my plate.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're going out for a quick meal, yeah, it's fine. You can do that. But if you're out for a nice evening, you know, where the meals are a little bit longer because you know, it's a little tough on your neck.
Yeah.
You know, I'm being real. Yeah, I'm not opposed to, you know, touching and showing affection and stuff like that. We already talked about the PDA. I'm like so anti-PDA, I think. You know, a little hand-holding, a little peck here and there is fine. Anything more than that is save it for the bedroom, just as like you're arguing. Not the bedroom, but save it for private. It doesn't have to be the bedroom. Could be the floor. Could be.
All right, that was a couple of good topics that we got into. I want to pivot over to T and B-Lo Get Topical because it's been a while. There's a lot going on in the world of news. So this podcast is going up the day after I just recorded one that's got a lot of stuff in the news. So that's my take on it. There's a few things I wanted to ask you. Your opinion on, maybe we'll get to it, maybe we won't, but there's one thing you hounded me months ago to do, and I finally did it. I sat down and I watched both parts of I Love You Now Die. So I finally did it.
Oh, yes, and she was up for parole the other day.
And she got denied, so it all kind of came together. So I hope it's still somewhat fresh in your
mind. Did she get denied? I thought it was, is it officially that she gets?
Yeah, it's official. So she has to serve a full 15 months. So.
I feel bad for. Go ahead. We'll talk about this.
It's not that you and I.
No, it just says right now. I just looked it out. She's getting out early despite losing parole.
Really? I haven't seen that. So you and I talked about Abducted in Plain Sight, where that was a fucked up documentary where you and I found comical because of the guy was basically able to sleep with the entire fucking family. That was weird. This was deep and heavy. So. And you could tell me, and we could talk about this, the two parts. It felt like this. Going into it, I told you, I only had what I saw from the news in Boston.com. You could tell they both had some issues. I kind of felt bad. Obviously, I felt bad that the kid died. I kind of felt like she wasn't responsible because she was a kid, didn't know any better. Now, watching the first part. That first part, and you never really see this on a documentary. A documentary usually has a voice from one side. For instance, Making a Murderer. They obviously wrote it. They shot the documentary to get that guy off. They didn't think the guy did it, you know, in the junkyard. Usually get a voice. This had two different voices. The first part, they positioned it as her. Like, they showed everything she texted, how she fucking egged him on to kill himself, how she went and threw that benefit in her own town to get likes, to get friends. Like, they positioned her as a psychopathic fucking little twat. The second part, pivoted over to him already being suicidal. His fucking parents, the mother went on record of saying he's tried to commit suicide four times before. The dad went on record saying I beat the shit out of the fucking kid for not getting the mac and cheese out of the pan. But that kid was fucked up. So you put the two parts together. It's clear it was the perfect storm, unfortunately. These kids were fucked up. Their parents couldn't help them mentally develop them. They were both on fucking pills for their medical care. Yeah. The psychiatrist came in and blamed it on the drugs. These kids weren't fully mentally developed physically. They had a relationship all in texting. They both wanted attention. They both were suicidal. They both were fucking depressed. And they just enabled each other's bad behaviors unintentionally. Yeah. These kids were just that fucked. So now
I wish you had watched it when I had watched it. Because I actually have been watching a couple. You know, I do two shows at a time. But that's what I was thinking too. Is like when I first watched it, like I'm like, you know, I was like, oh, because I actually, someone told me to watch it, and I watched it, and I watched the first episode, and I told him, I'm like, oh man, that bitch, all this other stuff too, and he's like, oh, just wait. That's all he said to me. He goes, oh, just wait, because again, it was a local story, right? So I'm sure you're familiar. I mean, again, it was local to us, so we saw the news. I remember it all go along. I remember a lot about it. But and then when I watched the second episode, I'm like, you know what? I felt so bad for everybody.
Me too. Right?
Because like you said, like here it is, a kid who tried to commit suicide four times. You know, he didn't have the proper help, you know, and then you saw the stuff with her and her attention thing and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm sitting there going, well, they sentenced her to prison. I'm like, well, I hope they help her while she's in there, because she's really going to need help from all that stuff. You know, because again, I don't want someone like that to be sent away to prison. The whole thing is very unfortunate. And again, it was all done through texting. I mean, people can say, oh, he told them to do this and stuff like that. There's a whole number of arguments with that. But that was a clear point case of, like you said, the perfect storm. And people look at these stories. And again, you have to take a look. I'm not justifying anything or saying anything's justified, but you had to look at the age of the children at the time, right? They were both high school kids.
Yeah.
Mentally, like you just said, and I think I mentioned this before, is mentally, they are not developed to the point. Kids at that age don't know how to think past tomorrow. They're not going to think that, oh, if I kill myself, you know, it's over for the rest of my life. You know, you understand what I'm saying? And I'm not making excuses for them. I'm not trying to cover it up. What I'm just saying is some of these things that do occur, you have to take a look at, regardless of the outcome. I know it's tragic. What's their mind frame? What's their mindset? What are they capable? The type of decisions they're making at the time. I mean, this is why they don't allow you to do certain things until you're 21, until you're 18,
exactly.
This and stuff. It's not because the people want to be crazy. It's just because they say, well, that's the age that you're able to make a decision properly.
Yeah. And the girl in her family didn't want to participate in the documentary. It was all him and his family. Well, all his family, because he's dead. But like, there's no way to say that kid was going to kill himself anyway, because he tried before. But I felt like there was some neglect on
the. But they had the videos of him. See, that's what I'm saying. It's like, they actually had the videos of him. And I'm sitting there going, like, how are they going to?
Parents are like, they had no idea this was going on. You did have an idea what was going on. You admitted that your son was suicidal before. Like, the parents fucked up.
And then they ring to you that their parents aren't together. And they weren't together.
Yep. So it's like,
you see what I'm saying? So it's like they had this whole, they started off with this whole picture. This is this nice little, Cape Cod family. When in reality it was, like you just said, the kid tried to kill himself four times. The father beat the shit out of him. You know, I think the father had a girlfriend or something, right? Yep. I don't recall.
Yep.
I mean, cause I watched it a few months ago, you know, well,
my conclusion was, it's just like yours, where that kid, I wish he got help. It's all tragic. It's all sad.
I hope she did.
I wish he could have gotten help, but he didn't. He probably was going to kill himself one way or another if his parents were going to step in.
He tried four times to the point where they took him to, he got admitted to the hospital because he was almost dead.
Because he took all the pills. And for her, you're right. She has no business being in prison. She should be in a mental institution getting help. She should be getting help. Prison is not going to reform that young, undeveloped mind. That kid doesn't know any better. She should get help, absolutely. But unfortunately, she's in prison. I don't know what type of therapy she's getting, but hopefully she comes out. Like, after 15 months in jail, she's not going to be any more physically fit or mentally fit to get through the world. That girl's going to be probably more fucked up. Yeah, sad.
They did this. It was in 2014 was the case. And she got sentenced, you know. I mean, again, she was, I think, 18 or 20.
They kept on delaying it, and then now.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, she is a lot older now. But, you know, like I said, it was a tragic story. But, yeah, I was kind of kind of fun.
I know I want to wrap up the podcast, but a couple of quick things topical. I talked about the podcast on my own, but I just want to get your quick hits to it. We started doing this a couple of times ago, so we don't have to go to a whole spiel. We can talk about it more the next time.
It was a couple times ago. We did it twice, and they weren't recorded.
One of them was recorded. It got on the air. Real quick, your take on Antonio Brown.
You know what?
Come on, quick. Mine went up yesterday. What's yours?
No, he played. He did well. He looked like even after his first catch, he wanted to show what he didn't show out and like, oh, the pass is going to keep him disciplined. I know there's allegations against him. I'm one of those, you know, depending upon the allegations, you know, I don't believe in the media, you know, guilt by media, innocent until proven guilty. The stuff that they released and stuff like that, I'm like, you know what? Let the investigation go through. Don't do anything crazy to him. You know, as long as he keeps his cool, like, and he doesn't start, like, you know, spouting out, then just let the due process go through and then, you know, handle it accordingly. Then when he started, like, you see all these, like, test messages threatening people and shit like that. If it's true, he lost his cool. Then I'm like, you know what, buddy? You kind of did it. And then now, like, it's a shame. It's a shame that people get like that. Next.
So I talked about this in the podcast as well. I know you being a movie fan and a comic book fan, The Joker Dynasty, that movie, can't wait. A lot of people coming out now saying it's one of those violent movies that's going to entice people to commit violence. And they tied it into the Aurora shooting when that guy painted, dressed as the Joker, shot up the movie theater when Dark Knight Rises came out. What is your take on releasing this movie and people saying, again, a violent movie is what really triggers someone when you know it isn't the fucking movie?
You know what I really believe, and I've had conversations about this before too, is if people are going to, I'm going to try to say this, and I know, I think you can put ideas in people's heads. You know, like if you start, I'm one of those, like if you think the end is going to happen, you know, relationship, this, that, everything, the end will happen. Right. If you're always focusing on saying, okay, this is going to happen. But if you're starting to tell people, well, we can't release the movie because someone's going to shoot up. Can't release the movie because someone's going to shoot up. Oh my goodness, someone's going to do this. You're almost just like trying to just like promote, hey, somebody go do this, in my opinion. And I'm not saying that that is the case or that's what's going to happen. I'm just saying sometimes you can overdo it. It goes with everything else we talk about. There isn't one thing that can be, we're going to have a society pretty soon that nobody speaks because there isn't one word that can be spoken that someone's not going to say I'm offended by it or is going to cause some major, you know, disaster, you know, because you, I don't like you wearing a white shirt right now. And because you're wearing a white shirt, you're now a white supremacist.
Yeah, no, you're right. We're going down that road. And again, me being a big movie fan, like, leave movies alone. Like, I know, and you can shoot up a movie theater, you can shoot up a school, you can shoot up an office building, you can shoot up the fucking street, you can shoot up a nightclub, a supermarket. It's like, I talked about it on yesterday's podcast, but The Joker, and I understand the whole Aurora thing, what happened there. I understand that they're not having it that movie theater. It kind of makes sense because the wounds are still fresh from 7 years ago. But you can't fucking say this is going to entice someone to do it because I think it's already there. Yeah, I hear put an idea in your head, but that person that's going to that movie theater with a gun in hand, they don't need the Joker, his performance, tell them. They're going to shoot
him. All these other things too, right? Is like, again, we could talk about things in the media and people could present things another way to make things more peaceful, passive, supportive. But a lot of times what people forget is, we talked about this before, is sensationalism. Crimes have been occurring for thousands of years, millions of years. There's been slaughters. There's been, you know, murders. There's been a number of things. There's no time like now where people sensationalize it and it can be spread rather quickly, right? Because, again, it's the same thing that we talk about, like, you know, and I use the example of like a plane crash, right? The plane flies, it crashes, kills 200 people. It's very unfortunate, very tragic, right? But at any given time, there's 2,200 planes above the United States flying. How many millions of flights, how many millions of people travel a day safely? You know what I'm saying? They say you're more likely to die in a car crash than you are in a plane. But again, people make this big thing, a plane crash. Yes, 200 people died at one time. Very, you know, anybody who dies in an accident is unfortunate. But, you know, it's what you focus on and what you do. And now it's like, people are like, I can't even go outside. I can't go on a plane anymore. I can't do this. Yeah. Now it's like, there's a tragedy. Something happens, unfortunately. And again, people talk about the shootings and this and that, but somebody could take their car. You see these stories, people take their cars and they run over people, you know, accidentally by putting the foot in the gas, not the brake, right? People are still driving. Drunk drivers, how many times you see people, oh, I got caught drunk driving 5 times, right? But they just kind of brush it aside because now they want to sensationalize and focus on one issue versus, you know, let's focus on the mental health issue of this and how to reform so that we don't do this type of thing, not just focus on, movies. Like I said, speaking of movies, I was actually thinking about this because I knew we were going to be speaking. I haven't really been into movies. I've been more into like, you know, I want to talk about next time because I know we have to cut it, but this whole streaming service versus movies versus
we'll get into
content
that.
And television. I really want to get into that because
I got opinions.
No, I think it's big, and I think it's coming now because everybody now is coming out with their services because you have the NBC, the Comcast with the Flex, you have, you know, Disney, you know, CBS, everybody is coming out with a service, a pay-as-you-go.
We'll get into that for sure next time because I have some opinions. One last thing because we don't really get political on here. We don't have to talk about political aspirations. But before we sat down to record, it came down that Nancy Pelosi is moving forward with an impeachment inquiry for Donald Trump. Do you think it's going to go forward, and do you think we will have an impeached president during our lifetime? I mean, but technically, like, removed from office. You think this will happen?
You were around when Nixon was alive. I mean, Nixon was president, right? You were 11?
No, you
might were. How old are you?
That's for sure. 42.
What year was Nixon impeached?
It was before that. It was like after Kennedy. 68, right? 69?
1974.
74, okay. So you might have made it, you old fuck. No, you weren't even there too either. But either way, do you think this is going to move forward? Do you think this is going to change that?
Nah, I don't think
Pence
so.
Pence has a chance of coming up president?
I don't think so. I think Pelosi is just trying to just be Pelosi. She needs to, you know, it's
well,
a political system. No, I hope political system is deficient. You know, I'm not saying there's a party that's right or a party that's wrong. It's just the whole system needs to be reorganized because look how much money, time, and everything they spend on this, on silliness, on both sides. I'm not saying Trump, not Trump, or anything like that.
I'm not saying right or wrong.
I'm saying on both sides, the amount of money that they spend on the silliness where they could be focusing on running the country.
Real issues? Yes. Together, parties aside, together, one house, one president, one fucking, you know, Congress – let's go solve all this other shit. For instance, I talked about, and I don't want to get off topic because I want to wrap the show. Hans is going to be coming in soon. That climate strike. All these kids went out there to raise climate awareness where everybody's like in denial of global warming. A bunch of kids went out and they fucking protested. It's like, are you going to address that now? Like, can we even do that? Can we even save that? What can we do to make the earth better? I don't know. I think we're all fucked anyway with all these storms that are coming more and more. But like, there's real issues, but yet let's all fight with each other. Our politicians are always fighting with each other. And they're not looking to fix anything. It's like constant. It doesn't matter who's in house. It's going to happen.
But that's what I'm saying. It's not even like they're fighting it for them for anything sound.
No.
They're arguing with them just because they really just don't like each other.
I want to say that I'm right, you're wrong. That's all we're doing. That's all they're doing. All politicians during, like, I think the last, I don't know, 20 fucking years since the Clinton era, I'm right, you're wrong. I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It goes.
It's unfortunate, and it's say let's do what's right or what's in the best interest of the country. Because again, and everyone's going to have their different views on what they can do. But you know, I do believe that there is a happy medium.
This could be coming. All right, Hans Zimmer is coming in. He's blasting. He's finally sending us off. He's missed you.
I haven't heard Hans in so long, and
he's we have to figure out. Died.
You know, I almost did. Well, yeah, we have to.
you man. Almost died. Save that for the next one. Because I don't want to hear that. All right, B-Lo. It's been a while. Glad we got to catch up. All right, man. I'll talk to you.
Peace out.